Imagine you are a police officer and you just arrived on the scene of this horrific car accident. And you see this woman a few feet from the vehicle flaring her body in all different directions. Her arms and legs and spine are twisting and turning all about. At first, the officer wasn't quite sure what to think or make of her. At first he thought she might be having a seizure. But he saw that she was upright and her movements just seemed too coordinated and almost choreographed. He then thought, well, maybe she's intoxicated. But again, he thought her movements just seemed too coordinated. She eventually slowed down and stopped, and he asked her if she was all right and proceeded to give her a sobriety test, which turned out to be negative. Now, her car was completely totaled, but she seemed unscathed. This woman was a dance instructor that I trained with a few years back, and she told this story to me and the rest of the class to emphasize how she used movement to discharge the impact of that accident on her mind, body, and emotions. At first, she thought it was a miracle that she even was able to get out of the car without any apparent physical injuries. This dance or technique is a comprehensive way of healing the mind, body, spirit, and emotions. And that is what my instructor was doing right after her accident. You see, a trauma as severe as she experienced could have created a physiological effect on her emotions. What she was doing was moving that energy of that trauma out of her nervous system before it could set in her cellular memory and possibly create PTSD. One of my favorite quotes is from Nikola Tesla, and he said, "If you want to know the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration." Our thoughts are energy that vibrate out into space. Our feelings are the frequency that we resonate back to us from the thoughts we are thinking. In other words, we are electromagnetic beings, attracting to us our most dominating thoughts and feelings. We sense this energy in our body through our nervous system. Our nervous system consists of our brain, our spinal cord, our sensory organs, and all the nerves connecting these organs to the rest of the body. Together, they are responsible for the control and the communication among its parts. The nerves send out signals letting us know what is pleasurable or painful. We also know that the first law of the universe is order, that there's a divine intelligence keeping the planets orbiting in precise mathematical order. We could send a rocket to Mars and time its landing to a fraction of a second. This divine intelligence is in everything in nature. We also know that the second law of the universe is order. We live in this ocean of motion. We know from quantum physics that when you break things down to their subatomic field, that everything is just energy and information vibrating at a certain frequency. Again, this intelligence is also in our bodies. We breathe, and most of the time we're not even mindful of the breath we take. On average, our heart pumps and circulates blood throughout the body at approximately 75 beats per minute. Our organs and cells are performing their designated function every nanosecond in perfect order without us being aware of how utterly amazing this truly is. However, if there's some sort of emotional, physical, or mental trauma that occurs once or repeatedly, our bodies can seem to get out of order. Our nerves begin to send signals out into the body, letting us know we are under stress. They're possibly creating the fight, flight, or freeze response. You know, from the time we are born, we are being bombarded by stimulus that can throw off this delicate balance that stabilizes our body, mind, and emotions. Being born to parents that were both Holocaust survivors set into play a series of circumstances that would alter my emotional vibration from a very early age. Both my parents came over from Germany after the war with very little luggage, but a lot of baggage, psychological baggage, that is. They both experienced a tremendous amount of trauma and stress in their childhood years. They both had post-traumatic stress disorder. They both were either emotionally unavailable or emotionally too reactive. They didn't know how to express their feelings in a healthy way because their childhoods, they had to navigate uncertainties and fears at all times. Their survival was at stake. And this triggered the fight, flight, or freeze response in them quite often. My relationship with my father was not very good. He often raged, and my brother or I were the recipients of his emotional instability that got unleashed when certain triggers were pushed. This left me feeling unworthy and unlovable for most of my childhood. Boy, did I fear him. His energy was just so volatile. It was like when he got angry, like acid pouring through his veins. He was addicted to his emotional pain. My mom, well, she was like this lost little girl. She seemed to be afraid of everyone and everything. She had her emotional outbursts from time to time, too. And she was so dependent on my father that when he passed away at the young age of 49, she completely lost it. Now, don't get me wrong. My parents were good people. They taught us to respect all people and cultures and the planet. They educated themselves and believed in higher education. They just didn't have the emotional intelligence to guide us to where we needed to go. Their emotional intelligence got stunted at a very early age. And they did the best they can with what they knew. If they knew better, they would have done better. And what we don't fix, our children inherit. These patterns repeat themselves from generation to generation until we become aware and take responsibility of our thoughts, feelings, and actions, which are our energy, frequency, and vibration. I was 15 years old when my father was first diagnosed with cancer. My brother was off in college, and I was left home having to cope with emotions I had no idea with how to navigate through. I didn't know where to turn to for help and often felt alone. My parents were wrestling with their own fears and survival. And I was just left to fend for myself. Whenever I fell down, I would dance. Dancing was always my way of releasing my pent-up emotions. It was so liberating. However, because of my unhealthy and horrible relationship with my father, I was always looking for Daddy Dearest. I was always looking for my father's love and approval, and this took precedence above everything else. I felt like I had a hole in my soul, like I was out of order. But what we don't fix, our children inherit. So I was just repeating this pattern again. I played the victim so well. I didn't just have a violin playing Cry Me a River. I had a whole string section behind me. You know, we all sit on the pity potty sometimes. We all feel sorry for ourselves. We just have to remember to flush that pity potty. And I was forgetting to flush. But then something wonderful came into my life. I became a mother. My firstborn child was healthy and beautiful. I was in love. Holding her in my arms was pure bliss. I never felt anything so wonderful before. 3 years later, I had another little healthy little girl. Again, this feeling of love and the hormone oxytocin, the love hormone, flooded every cell in my body. My babies. I was healed. I was in love like I never, ever was before. This feeling of love is the greatest emotion and energy that there is, and I just wanted to bottle it. However, this feeling would soon end because my relationship with their father ended. Because deep down inside, we were just both emotional, wounded little children trying to make a go out of it. I quickly found another man to devote my life to, which also ended because of my emotional baggage that I was still carrying around with me. Then a few more relationships that never ended well. You see, the men I chose were men that I thought I could fix, supersize, or heal. I saw the hurt little boy in them, and I wanted to rescue them. I saw my father, and wanted to rescue him, and rescue myself as well. Well, after a few more emotional and financial setbacks, I finally said enough. But then something even sinister came into my life. My darkest and deepest nightmare surfaced. I discovered that my older daughter was using heroin. At this point in my life, I was so down and desperate. How could this have happened? What could I have done to prevent this? The guilt, the shame, the blame, these feelings just flooded every cell in my body. I knew I had to stop. I knew I had to take control of my thoughts and feelings and take a brutally hard look at what I was attracting into my life. And that's exactly what I did and never turned back. You see, emotional intelligence is essential to get you to where you want to go in life. We all have emotional pain in our lives. It's part of the human experience. We all have trauma in our lives. However, we do not have to suffer and stay stuck in the bondage of these emotional pains. As a life coach, I work with many people who are struggling with emotional blocks that are preventing them from living their best life. When we learn how to release and detach from these feelings, we can then begin to have a healthy, happy, and prosperous life. When we understand and work with these greater laws of the universe, we will become aware that we are these electromagnetic beings attracting to us what our dominating thoughts and feelings are. We can then raise our vibration to align with higher frequencies such as love. It is time on this planet to raise our vibration and to heal the devastating effects of what wars and conflict have done to this planet. The destruction that we are doing to this beautiful planet Earth, the harm that we are inflicting on ourselves and each other, are just the result of the emotional baggage that we are still dragging around from generation to generation. When we learn to forgive ourselves and learn to forgive others of the mistakes that they have made, releases so much emotional freedom for healing within us. When we face our deepest and darkest fears and work through them, we can then release their hold that they have on us. You know, we are all doing the best we can with the awareness we have at the time. We have just forgotten this divine intelligence that courses through our veins. You know, there's an energy within us, around us, and everywhere at all times. When we quiet our minds and listen to the small voice within, we could tap into this energy that guides every breath we take and every move we make. Thank you.